Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Love taking your calls, hearing a revitalized fan base for the Bears. It was a great weekend as a Bears fan. No, they haven't played it down yet. We understand that. But on paper, things looked pretty good. It looked like the process was a good one.
Pretty good, right?
Dan Weeder will join us here in a couple minutes. If you want to talk about the weekend, 332-3776. If you want to ask Dan a question, why don't we take some calls for Dan Weeder from the Tribune, 312-332-3776. Waddle, when you were gone on Friday,
yeah.
I was all things fanboy as I got to talk to Justin Fields. Justin Fields on the Waddle and Sylvie Show. Justin, congratulations. How you feeling today?
Thank you. I'm feeling great. You know, my first day in Chicago, I'm feeling awesome. You know, the weather's not too bad. And I'm just glad to be up here, and I'm definitely excited for the future. So,
yeah,
great day.
You know, you come from a great fan base at Ohio State. It's only been 24 hours, and not even that, but you're here in town. Can you feel the thirst and the love that this city already has?
I can definitely, you know, feel the love from the Bears fans. You know, I can just tell that, you know, they're very passionate about, you know, this organization, this city, this sport. So I'm excited, and I'm, you know, just grateful for the opportunity.
One thing, Justin, that I really enjoy is, you know, since the moment you got drafted last night, you know, people have asked you about being the franchise quarterback in Chicago, a town that, as most of us know, hasn't had a franchise quarterback in like 70 years. And you have not shied away once from saying that you believe you want to be a franchise quarterback. Why are you so confident in setting those high expectations for yourself?
You know, those are just the, you know, expectations I have for myself that I've, you know, goals that I've set for myself. So I'm going to, you know, do everything that I can, everything in my power to accomplish those goals, whether it's, you know, working out 20 times a week or doing whatever I need to do to become the best quarterback I can be and the, you know, best player I can be.
You know, there's always pressure with being the star quarterback in college, the star quarterback in the NFL. Do you feel added pressure knowing the history of Bears quarterbacks?
No, not really. I don't feel any added pressure because, you know, I don't think, you know, those quarterbacks have anything to do with me other than, you know, we play for the same organization. So I don't think, you know, those situations will, you know, affect my situation here at all.
Do you, when you look at the situation here, like you were just talking about, and what you went through at the draft, and there were a lot of unfair things being said about you, you stated yesterday that those are forgotten. The process is forgotten. There's no chip on your shoulder. Is that really true? There's not going to be a chip?
There's no chip from what people are saying about me because I think at the end of the day, I know myself. I know, you know, the work I put in. I know how much I care about this game. So there's not going to be an added chip for, you know, the false things that were said about me. No.
Did Coach Nagy try to stump you today, Justin, with some more formations? He loved the fact that when you guys were on Zoom and he asked you to give him some formations, you nailed it.
Yeah, he definitely hit me with some more yesterday too. But no, we didn't go over formations today, but we probably will be very soon. So just like I said before, I'm very excited and ready to get started.
All right, we're going to sample some of the interview the beginning part of this week. So that was the front portion of it. For the entire interview, make sure you download that ESPN Chicago app. We also got some new content on their exclusive podcast, including Crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko. Download that thing.
I will say, I loved his answer about not feeling extra pressure because he's joining an organization that has failed to have standout quarterback play over the course of time. It's the same reason why he should not, you know, he shouldn't be compared to Ohio State quarterbacks that have come before him at OSU. He's who he is. You evaluate him for how he played. And coming here to Chicago, he's not going to worry about the struggles of people that have failed at the position over the course of time.
All right, let's bring in Dan Weeder. Does great work with the Chicago Tribune. He has been on this wild ride with us through the entire offseason for the last several years. And he joins us on the Corona Hotline. Dan, if I would have told you when we last talked that the Bears would get Justin Fields and Tevin Jenkins, what would you have said?
Yeah, I would have said that's a fantastic draft haul for a team that needed help at the quarterback position, obviously, and also at offensive tackle. And to come away from those first two picks with those two guys is no doubt a victory on draft weekend. Now it's a matter of developing those guys into what you think that they can become at this level, and hopefully that solidifies two very important positions for you. But, man, you talk about getting an entire city back on the horse, right? That's what happened Thursday night. Everybody who said they were never going to jump back on the bandwagon suddenly started getting back in line, and to have that hope renewed was just a positive development for the entire city.
We had a nice conversation earlier today about feeling optimistic about what transpired this weekend, but at the same time not losing sight that the criticism that has been heaped upon both Ryan and Matt has been valid criticism, and there's no need for an apology. Where do you stand on that concept?
Yeah, I mean, I'm the president of that concept, I think. Look, and I think you guys may have mentioned this earlier in the show, but we talked over text over the weekend that this wasn't exactly some sort of brilliant move that Matt and Ryan made on Thursday night. They simply picked up the $100 bill that they saw laying on the sidewalk, and they don't have to apologize for that. Now they've got $100 in their pocket, and they've got to spend it wisely. But look, another GM and another coach could have been in place, and this all could have unfolded the same way last week, and the narrative would be entirely different in the city. It would have been, look what a fresh start gets you. It gets you a new quarterback to take you into the future. Here is the same coach, the same general manager, who now get a quarterback to take you into the future, and now they've got to figure out what to do with it. Look, you come off back-to-back 8-8 seasons like they have. You come off back-to-back seasons where the offense was a mess like they have, and that criticism has been warranted all along the way. Now they've got a chance to change it. They've got a chance to turn the narrative, turn this offense into something special, turn this quarterback into a guy who can be a standout and potentially a star. Yes, I said star in this city, and that's a gift that should not be taken for granted.
Dan, we took your $100 bill analogy, and Waddle was telling us that he was at a CVS.
Yeah.
He went to the ATM, and there was a $20 bill just laying there on the tray. He did not see who used it before him, so it wasn't like he could just say, hey, you didn't take all your money, you left that there. But he did return it to CVS. Tell us the truth. If the same scenario happens to you, where's the $20 going?
I mean, CVS doesn't need that money, do they? I mean, I'd probably put it in my left front pocket and figure out a way. Listen, this is not a discussion
about need. Not a need question. It's what the right thing to do is. And listen, you guys can decide individually what the right thing to do for you is.
Why is it wrong?
I didn't say it was wrong.
Right.
You're getting defensive. You're getting defensive. Like, I'm not accusing you of anything. I says it's up to you to decide what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah, I'm keeping it too, Dan.
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe getting a nice, snack somewhere in the CVS, an extra large bag of trail mix or something.
Right, an impulse buy because you're $20 richer. Yeah. Win-win for both parties.
You're awful defensive for no reason at all. I'm not sure why. Why are you so defensive about this? I'm just saying I chose one path, you choose the other. I'm not saying which one is right or wrong.
Do-gooder. Look at me. I'm a do-gooder.
I was hammered at 11 o'clock Saturday morning. I'm not a do-gooder.
Well, I appreciate you guys giving me credit for the $100 bill analogy.
I loved it.
The one that I really wanted credit for was Friday morning when I accused and diagnosed Cap of having premature take-vatulation, because I think that is one thing that all of us, once again, have to get in the boat and guard against, and making sure that the legitimate excitement here in the city is not overblown to a point where it creates this backlash, this defense against, hey, don't not blow this one acquisition out of proportion and make this into a polarizing shouting match between two factions of the city again. So that's why I'm going to be here for you this week, this month, into the future, to make sure we keep the guardrails on this Justin Fields conversation.
Yeah, like, don't get us wrong. We're not going to be yelling, hey, anyone who doesn't agree with us, it's going to end poorly for you, or this and that, and hey, do you want to go get a margarita right now? Wait, did I say that?
Yes, you did. That's a shot.
The point is, on the opposite thing, I always use the dating comparison. If you've had bad luck with women or long-term relationships, but you had a really good first date, you're still excited. And if you go in thinking that it's going to turn out poorly, it's not going to be good for you. So I think all Bears fans should be happy so far with the first date. And let's see where the hell this relationship goes.
I'm with you on that. Like I say, Luigi, you just have to keep the lid on the top end of that excitement so that you don't go out telling the masses that this was the biggest day for our country since the moon landing, right? And so that's all I'm guarding against. And so we're gonna keep the reality zone intact. And I think there's a fun reality zone here with Justin Fields because, like I say, you look at the tape and you see the star potential and you see immediately that this is not Mitch Trubisky, that this is a guy that has skills in his toolbox that will allow him to make more plays that are designed for him and more plays that aren't designed for him. And I promise the city of Chicago that there will be many, many more plays made by Justin Fields than there were by Mitch Trubisky, and that's a positive step in the right direction.
This is an entirely different scenario than the one that unfolded in 2017 for a number of reasons. Here's my question now, Dan. With regard to $100 bills, you just went to the ATM and you took out, like, a bunch of them. Won't even put a number on it, but a bunch of them. And you got to place this bet. Are you confident putting your money on Matt Nagy getting the most out of Justin Fields going forward? Is this match going to produce a lot of solid returns more so than what the last marriage between coach and quarterback produced?
I don't think you can be confident in that, Tommy. I think you can take a wait and see approach and say Matt had a say in bringing Justin Fields here to Chicago, and he feels very strongly that he's got a developmental plan that will help him, you know, sort of navigate the early stages of the orientation to the NFL and then hopefully take him to a springboard that vaults his career to the next level. But what we saw with Mitch Trubisky, followed by what we saw with Nick Foles, raised legitimate questions on Matt's ability to connect with his quarterbacks in a way that produces high-level results on game days. And that's what this is all about. And so this is now sort of this spotlight shifts to Matt Nagy, and it becomes a major test of who he is as a quarterback groomer, a quarterback developer. And I know they feel strongly in Lake Forest about the entirety of that coaching staff, of John DeFilippo as the position coach, getting his hands and his chance to put his fingerprints on Justin Fields, Bill Lazor being part of that process. And as a group, they feel very confident in themselves. But from what we've seen to this point, I think it's only fair to take that wait-and-see approach until we start to see some things on the field that tell you, okay, this is a different story now.
Yep. All right, let's take some calls for Dan. If you have a question, 312-332-3776. This is your chance to ask Dan Weider a Bears question if you have one from draft weekend. I've got one about who he thinks is going to start on opening day if you were to bet now. I've got one on, is the Charles Leno move a good thing here for everyone with Tevin Jenkins starting at left tackle? We'll continue the conversation with Dan next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Let's take some calls for Dan, 312-332-3776. Dan, we'll get to Leno here in a minute, and also starters. I want to make sure our fans get a chance to talk to you, Dan Weider from the Tribune. You hear him right here on ESPN 1000. You read his great stuff on Chicago Tribune. And Glenn's in Valpo. Glenn, you're on with Dan Weider. What's your question?
Guys, hey, real quick. Do you think that this draft of Fields is going to result in the city of Chicago and Soldier Field and being forced to finally get rid of grass and that terrible turf, grass, and go to turf with Fields' athletic ability and his quickness and speed, and will that grass
fix the Fields? Go ahead. What do you think, Dan? Do they go turf?
I don't know how much the Chicago Park District has invested in Justin Fields' development and how they make those decisions. I don't know if the two go hand in hand are related. I don't think that there will be any tie to that at all.
Have you read the buzz, though, over the Arlington stuff? Pro Football Focus, do you really believe that the Bears have their sights set on building their own stadium in Arlington Heights?
I don't know if they have their heart set in it. I do know that it would be a business decision that would make a lot of sense in a lot of different ways. when you're looking at the future of the NFL and the future of the sport and the future of trying to make money, that's a very intriguing possibility up the road. The ability to then also host other events, Super Bowls, Final Fours, those types of things. There's a lot of things that go into a conversation like that, and I think it's fascinating to see how this thing's going to evolve and unfold, because that certainly is a big plot of land with a lot of potential to do something with, and it also alleviates some of those traffic headaches that result from your current stadium being surrounded by water.
Dan, I found it a really odd comment that the mayor made that the NFL would resist this. I think I disagree. I don't have any inside knowledge.
She said that the NFL would not let the Bears move out of Chicago.
Right. I think that the NFL would be thrilled if the Bears would move anywhere where they could build a stadium that could house a Super Bowl.
And make the most money for one of their top franchises.
I mean, am I wrong there?
No, it's 1,000,000% correct. It's 1,000,000% correct. And look, this is going to be a topic that doesn't go away for a long while here. And it's something that requires following very closely months and years up the road here.
I think it's interesting, too. The one thing that did come out of that is the mayor did acknowledge it's not a good stadium and that they do need to improve it. And it will be interesting to see what they do for the Bears. Patrick.
Do-do.
What they do. Yeah, that's the going back to the field again. Yeah. Patrick on the south side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's your question for Dan?
What's going on, guys? Hey, Mr. Weeder, a quick question. Do you think that this is actually kind of like a sneaky rebuild by drafting Fields? Because I don't know if he technically helps us per se this year. And then do we end up trading Mac to recoup that first rounder for next year?
On the latter point, Patrick, I don't think so. I think Khalil Mack's a part of this team's plans on defense. And as far as it's being a sneaky rebuild, I think it's just the nature of the beast. The Bears needed to readdress the quarterback position. For whatever reason we got to this point, we all acknowledged for 3 months that they had to go into this offseason with their number one priority being to rebuild that quarterback position in a way that restores some sort of hope and direction to this franchise. It fell in their laps. The opportunity to be able to draft Justin Fields on Thursday night. And so now it does change the clock a little bit for certain. If the Bears go, we talked about this before they drafted Fields, that if they wound up with a guy in the draft that was promising and they still went 7-10, but the latter portion of this season is obvious, give you obvious evidence that Justin Fields is the guy you believe he is, then all of a sudden the clock changes, right? And you say, okay, now we go into 2022, trying to eye up what Justin Fields is going to do. And so I do think that it buys Matt and Ryan some extra time, and it buys them the freedom to do what they need to do with Justin Fields in a way that not only is in their best interest, but helps this franchise get back to a position where it can win and win consistently and then sustain that success.
Can we get rid of the nonsense that anybody's on a hot seat right now and that management wasn't going to allow Pace to do what he wanted in the draft? Like, that narrative drove me crazy.
Yeah.
And I think that how things played out should put any of that conversation to rest. Am I wrong, Dan?
Well, to the second point, and I know that that latter point drove you crazy, and I was with you on that George and Ted were somehow going to stand in Ryan and Matt's way of making what moves that they thought were in the best interest of this franchise. Understand this as well. This is good for business. It's good for your business. It's good for my business. It's good for the business of the Chicago Bears, who wasted little time on Friday getting those Justin Fields number one jerseys up on the team shop website and starting to get those sales rolling in, right? And so to stand in the way of that because you don't want to leverage a 2022 draft pick and you're a little bit iffy on whether the coach and general manager that you have the utmost confidence in deserve that confidence, that was always ridiculous. I told you the Bears were going to have the green light on draft night. They had the green light. They drove through it. They got the guy that they wanted. And here we are now with sort of a whole new mood, a whole new conversation in town that, 2 weeks ago would have seemed unfathomable.
Don in Georgia. Don, what's your question for Dan?
Hey, guys. Long time listener. First time getting through.
Thank you, Don.
No problem. Just wanted to know, with the release of Leno, do you see any more releases coming possibly to free up some more money, possibly to bring in another left tackle like Fisher or another cornerback?
Yeah, Don. Ryan said on Saturday night that they were going to have to keep an eye on this sort of unusual free agent market that exists in May because of all these cap casualties around the league. And so now it's up to them to determine what they want to do with all these other positions. Obviously, the Leno release today is a release that under normal years probably wouldn't have happened. He would have been your placeholder and a guy who's obviously been more than that. He's been a durable starter and a guy who's been in your starting lineup for the better part of 7 years, right? 6+ years here in Chicago. And so now you cut him loose, you get $9 million on your cap back for 2021, and you can play around with that. But now you've got to look at this market and figure out internally, how much time does Tevin Jenkins need to become a starter for you? Can you find another cheaper veteran that can come in and be your week one starter while you get Tevin Jenkins ready, right? And so maybe you've got a left tackle and a quarterback who aren't in your long-term plans, but you're basically building a bridge to these rookies that you expect to be part of the future. And so that's something they're going to have to do at every position. They're going to have to look up and down the roster and figure out how much money do we need? Where can we shed some stuff? It's a tough break for Charles Leno to be let go in this fashion, but this is the business of the NFL, and the Bears are flipping the page, and now they've got to figure out what to do with that position.
Did it surprise you to hear that Tevin Jenkins is going to be their left tackle?
I am surprised, because you talk to some people around the league and there's some uncertainty on whether he has that capability. I think there's a lot of people that think he can be a solid starting right tackle for you for a long time, didn't have a ton of experience at left tackle in college, and now to roll those dice is something you have to have great confidence in your coaching staff and Juan Castillo to bring out the best of him. And I like Jenkins, you know, personality-wise, in terms of the skill set, there's some things to work with here, and he's the type of guy that will take hard coaching and constructive criticism like Juan Castillo offers in a positive way. And so just as important as Justin Fields' development will be the development of Tevin Jenkins here. But yeah, there are legitimate questions on whether he can be an anchor at left tackle, which is obviously very important to the development of your franchise quarterback.
Who's starting a quarterback?
I mean, Andy Dalton's your week one starter. I will not change my mind on that until it's August and I'm seeing things in practice with my eyes from Justin Fields that say he's ready for the NFL level. But there is absolutely no reason to rush this. Matt has been clear that they have no intention of rushing this. You don't want to force a rookie quarterback onto the stage before he's ready and put him through some negative experiences that don't necessarily catalyze his growth. And so this is why Andy Dalton was signed. I told you guys when all that outrage was bubbling up in March about Andy Dalton being this signing that they were going to take another swing at the position. They were going to do so in the draft. And so it was going to be Andy Dalton's job to become as long of a bridge as he can possibly be. The Mike Glennon bridge broke off 4 games into the season and everybody crashed into the lake below it. And they need him to be capable of going much longer than that. Even if Field sort of accelerates the timeline and says, I got it from here, you know, in week two, week three, I think this goes into October before we even start having the conversation about Justin Fields being your starter. And then we'll see where it goes from there.
Dan, as you zoom out and you look at how things unfolded, why do you believe Justin Fields was available at that time? Why do you believe that Shanahan decided Trey Lance was the better choice for the San Francisco 49ers? Why was he available?
These are all fascinating conversations, and they deserve a deep dive in the months ahead, because really, you know, on draft night, I think it was fascinating for us all to follow this, and you say, okay, Shanahan goes with Trey Lance at number 3. What's Atlanta going to do? If Atlanta decides that Justin Fields is their quarterback of the future, we're having a totally different conversation in Chicago this week and for the foreseeable future. Then you get to that 7, 8, 9 sweet spot on the draft board where you had the, you know, the Panthers and the Broncos and the Lions, all with quarterback answers with a question mark behind them on their roster, but still capable of pulling the trigger there. And they all decided that they weren't going to go with Justin Fields and they were going to go in a different direction. Look, there's questions about Justin Fields. He's a complete quarterback, but there are things that you wonder about, right? Can he get through his progressions fast enough? It's not an aptitude thing. It's an efficiency thing. Can you get through the reads fast enough to get there? Can you handle pressure on a consistent basis? I've heard from people around the league that say, look, he's going to need to clean up his footwork to be in sync with the timing that the NFL passing game demands of you. And so those are all things that you've got to look in at. The Bears don't have to ask the questions on why he was available. They were just lucky enough that he was available and they could pounce on him. I'm going to give you two Ohio State prospects here, just for some perspective on the evolution of this NFL game. The first prospect is 6'3", 235 pounds, ran a 40-yard dash of 4.49 seconds at his combine. The second one is 6'3", 227, ran a 4.44 in the 40 at his pro day. Prospect B is Justin Fields. Who's prospect A?
Yeah, second one is Justin Fields prospect A. From this year?
No.
Because that was at the combine. So are you going to tell me it's the kid who Washington drafted?
No, I'm going to tell you it was Eddie George. And so when I tell you that, you see that your starting quarterback or your future quarterback here comes in the same size, basically the same speed as Eddie George, and can throw the football like he can throw the football. You understand why people are excited and why eyes are open in terms of the playmaking capability and all the different things you can get out of this kid going forward. You can scheme this guy as a runner. I was driven nuts a year ago when the Bears would get into short and yardage situations, you know, goal to goal from the one or third and one, and they had so much difficulty picking up 1 yard. With Justin Fields being able to be schemed as a runner, you don't have to run tight end jet sweeps down near the goal line. Okay? Right? I'm telling you, you can design a lot of plays that are going to move the chains and get the ball in the end zone, and all of a sudden you say, okay, this is different. This is how you get from 19 points a game to 25 and a half points a game.
It's great stuff. Dan, really good. We appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
You bet, guys. Talk soon.
Dan Weider, Chicago Tribune. Let's get to the good, the bad, the dirty sports weekend. And we are guest-free the rest of the way. That's the only guest we talked to, and we even took calls with him. If you want to get in, 332-3776.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter. The good.
It's gone! Oh, my God!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow. So many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
Before we get into all the particulars and go around the room with the good, the bad, the dirty, I should announce that Rick Hahn is going to be holding a press conference at 5 o'clock to give you an update on Luis Robert. And why that is concerning to many is because the Sox are off today. And if it wasn't that bad of a news, they would probably just wait and give you an update on him tomorrow before the game. But it is a lot of people worried. Jesse has noted this as well, that he had an MRI today. And we'll see if there's a tear in there. And what could be. So we should have news on Luis Robert and his injury at 5. There's already a team that's shorthanded significantly. Aloy is already maybe their most dynamic hitter, and he's out most of the year. And now if Robert, who has been really good with the eye and his plate discipline, that will be a huge hit for the White Sox.
Not good.
All right, so give us something then that is
my good.
Good
is the play on the north side of town from Chris Bryant. Chris Bryant, I believe, now has 9 home runs, 22 driven in on the year. And how about this for his slash numbers? It's just called a slash line?
Sure.
323, 405, 708 slug for a 1.114 OPS.
It's incredible. It's MVP-type stuff.
Yes.
And it's all of what we've wondered the last couple of years. Why isn't he driving the ball like he is now? You know, what? Why? He raised the bar. I wanted, like I understand there are going to be slumps and down times, but he just looked different these last couple of years.
Do you know how you change the narrative?
You change the narrative
by performance. It's really simple.
It's
the simplest thing of all. Like, he raised the expectation, then his numbers dipped. So the narrative becomes, what's wrong with Chris Bryant? Well, you tell me nothing's wrong with him, then he's showing you nothing's wrong with him. He changed the narrative because he's back to playing or hitting the ball like an MVP.
Yeah, it's a good one. My good is, I'm a sucker for this. I click on them. I don't know if you guys avoid them. I like NFL draft calls. You know, and they're not all good. When I see a video on Twitter or Instagram of a guy getting told by the coach or the coach making the call, we're calling this prospect, we're going to fool him and we're going to tell him that he's drafted or, you know, the draft calls to me, like Zaven Collins at a really, it's Zaven Collins, right? Arizona. See the one who was drafted by Arizona? What's Zaven's? Zaven Collins was drafted by the Cardinals, had a really emotional one. A kid from Northwestern had a good one. Cool. I like
it's good.
Watching.
It's a life-changing moment for
I
this
love
kid.
Seeing the coaches and GMs say, hey, buddy boy, you ready to become a Brown? I love those, and I was consuming those all weekend. Remember that with Baker Mayfield and John Dorsey? I love draft calls. What do you guys have for your good?
Oh, my good is Packers drama. I love it. I want to bathe in it.
It makes me. It makes my teeth white.
You drinking the, Packers drinking fans in. Tears?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I love it. I love drinking Packers fans tears. Yeah, oh, he's gonna leave us. Oh, what are we gonna do? Shut up. I don't care. I don't
Shut
care.
Up.
I don't care. You got.
I'd be careful doing the victory dance until he actually
I'm not doing a victory
leaves,
dance.
Though.
I'm just. I saying. Just love that there's some turmoil up there for once.
Sure.
I mean, welcome to our world. Yeah. Welcome. Welcome. You think Jordan Love is that good? Then trade his ass. Then trade him.
They went through this same exercise, what, 15 years ago when Brett Favre and
maybe Aaron they're Rodgers. Due now. Maybe they're due.
I'm with you. I'm just saying I'm going to be late to that party as well.
You're late to a lot history. Of parties.
I am, but you know what?
Though.
You know what? When the party starts, nobody has more fun than me.
Well, you never want to be early.
No, right. You don't want to be early.
Fashionably late.
But I'm just saying maybe we're seeing a glimpse into the tables turning.
All right, Chris, what's your gut?
I hope so.
And over the draft, we did get a text from a Packer fan friend of ours who wanted to make note that Jordan Love will be better than Justin Fields in his career.
It's already started.
Yeah. It's already started. I'm going to jump on what Waddle is selling with Chris Bryant in the good, and this is why. No one was harder on Chris Bryant last season than me on the baseball show each and every night, asking for the MVP to play like an MVP. In his MVP season, he had a weighted runs created plus of 148. Right now, he's at a 192, eighth in baseball.
He's 92% better than anyone in his position.
Yeah, absolutely, and so I think we have to continue to acknowledge how great of a start Chris Bryant's gotten off to since I was asking for it for the last two seasons.
Yeah, it's fair.
So it's my good.
What's your bad, Waddle?
My bad is the White Sox outfield injuries. You already hit on it with Luis Robert, but you've already lost Aloy in spring training, and now you're going to miss your center fielder. So their situation in their outfield, not good because of injury.
My bad is my college football team playing spring playoff football lost on ESPN2, a heartbreaker. I believe the final was 31-26. They were in it until the very end. We had a lead, Waddle. You even caught some of it.
I did.
We were up 20-7. It stung. I'm very proud of them, but it still stings as a Saluki fan. Thought that was a game they could have and should have won. What do you boys have for your bads?
So in Manchester United this weekend, a bunch of fans broke into the stadium. Supposedly there may or may not have been a gate left open for them. There's rumors out there.
They officially said the gate was not left open.
The gate was not left open.
Investigation.
However,
they're investigating into it.
The bad part is the Glazers own Manchester United. Not Jay Glazer.
Right.
Stop tweeting at Jay Glazer.
Yeah. He tweeted
Malcolm
that.
Malcolm Glazer's family.
Yes.
Did you see that Jay Glazer posted either on Instagram or Twitter?
Yeah.
That I am not an owner of Manchester United. I am a football insider. I had nothing to do with the Super League. Leave me alone.
And then someone asked him for tickets, and he's like, yeah, I've got two on the 50-yard line. It's like, well, clearly you're not the owner. Right. You don't know anything about soccer.
That's good.
I would say that was bad because I was looking forward to watch Man U in Liverpool play, and the game was canceled because of the fans on the field. Kellen Mond went in the third round to the Vikings. Now they have quarterback controversy with Kirk Cousins, the whole thing. That's a bad situation. It's good for Bears fans because finally now we're not the ones that have to worry about our quarterback future now. And the Vikings, that's my bad. I don't know what the Vikings are doing there.
Okay.
Do you guys like that pick?
Did Zim draft another kicker or anything like that this
weekend? I read that the Vikings were actually, their eyes were on Justin Fields.
Bears jumped up.
Yeah.
Boom. Bad to the Vikings.
Which is weird because I didn't have the Vikings as a team that was going to draft a quarterback ahead of the Bears. I don't know what the Broncos are doing unless they think they're getting Rodgers. Told you that the Panthers weren't in the market for a quarterback. That was a silly
conversation. They went all defense, didn't they, again?
Yeah,
he's drafted a ton of defense.
Thank God it fell the way it did. My dirty people tweeting you that you owe Ryan Pace an apology, as we discussed earlier in the show. I think that's one of the silliest, most nonsensical things I've heard in quite some time.
Yep, I agree with that. My dirty is the good kid. The good kid today.
Why?
Well, look, the good kid today is celebrating his 20-year anniversary from day one of the old Afternoon Saloon
That's
show.
Right.
The show that legitimized ESPN 1000. It has a very prominent place in our history. And Yurko has been here for the last 20 years. And when you think of Yurko, you think of dirty. Like, dirt. Sometimes it's dirty good. Sometimes it's dirty. Sometimes it's dirty in his pants or the studio. It has been a dirty 20 years with Yurko here at ESPN 1000, and I think we're all better for it.
That's a good dirty.
So happy anniversary to the good kid today. That is my dirty.
Johnny anniversary.
Speaking of Johnny anniversary, one of his former teams, the Cleveland Browns. I think their draft was super, like, good dirty. Like, I'm very high on the Browns this year. There's some other
taking the Browns to the Super Bowl.
There's some problems with the Steelers. Like, Ben Roethlisberger's arm might fall off at any given moment. You never know.
They drafted a running back in the first round, the kid from Alabama.
Yeah,
he's
going to be good for them. I don't know if he's first round, but he's going to be good for them. I'm high on the Browns. I like them. Dirty. Take them to the Super Bowl.
Black, wrap us up.
Watched a great game yesterday. Nets and the Bucks. Giannis and Durant going back and forth. Giannis is unstoppable 10 feet in. That was my dirty. It was a fantastic game. And both players, superstars playing out, showing out. It was good.
All right, so we're going to get this news on Luis Robert. John Heyman just was tweeting. Luis Robert may miss significant time with a hip injury. Mm. Team will be updating shortly, but the news does not appear good.
Knock, knock, knock! Anybody answering at the Cubs? Chris Bryant available?
He'd have to play one of the corner positions. He's not going to play center, right?
Right, he'll play left.
Right. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. If you want to weigh in on the Bears weekend, we continue to discuss that.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
In Wheeling, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Mickey. Nick.
Oh, Mickey.
You're so fine. You're so fine. You blew my mind. Hey, Mickey. Hey, Mickey.
Sorry. Good try.
Oh, but Mickey, what a pity you weren't on the phone. You missed your chance to talk about Fields and the Bears.
Hello?
You started strong.
Hello?
That was good. That was a good surprise.
I thought you had it. I thought you were going to give me a rhyme.
I didn't rhyme it, but
it was good.
It was still a good little ditty.
If I close my eyes, I can't tell the difference between you and Tony Basil.
That's an old school one right there.
I'm an old guy.
Yep. We're waiting the news on Luis Robert. They have a press conference called, and that's what's got everyone really worried here.
I did not see it happen live, but I watched the replay on several occasions, and it looked bad to me. Anytime somebody kind of like plants their leg and goes down in that type of a heap, I mean, you always hope for the best, but, and I'm not suggesting it's like, but you remember when Bo Jackson went down, the hip's a really strange joint. And like, man, I mean, they can be debilitating injuries like that. So, you just hope that it's something much, much more minor than maybe we're
maybe he does still maybe he misses extended period of time, but he still could come back this year,
right.
and maybe by September, Aloy and Robert are back. I don't know, but this isn't good. You didn't think your starting left fielder and center fielder would miss significant time, and those are maybe two of your most dynamic bats in the
and
lineup.
Again, I'm not projecting anything nefarious or dark. I'm just saying to you when you talk about hips, like those things can really be nasty.
Yep. And then also on the north side, Ian Happ and Nico Horner are out of the Cubs lineup. Remember, they collided yesterday, so they're going through tests, and then the Cubs are going to update you on that. But it's just the press conference with Rick Hahn, they didn't need to do this. They don't have a game today. They're in Cincinnati tomorrow, and we thought if it was going to be an update and it wasn't hugely significant that they would just give it tomorrow before the game. But we're going to get it here in a mere few minutes, and we'll let you know. 332-3776 as we continue to take Bears calls. George in Old Town, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, George.
Hey, fellas, are we excited about Fields and the Bears now? Was it safe to say that the offense is now probably has more skill than the defense, and that if the defense plays with an edge this year, we can maybe go far in the playoffs?
I wouldn't go there yet with regard to the offense. I mean, this is an offense that has been in the mid-20s in terms of scoring and yards per game over the last 3 years. I like the upgrade at quarterback when he eventually takes over. I'm not 100% sure when that'll be. But, yeah, I mean, look, I'm enthusiastic, but I'm not
you know, I'm not expecting a top five offense in 2021.
No, but their offense is better slowly but surely, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Like you like Montgomery yes. when you use him. You like by the end of the year what Cole Kmet was able to do.
Yeah.
You like Allen Robinson. You like what Darnell Mooney has been yes. able to do.
I need another receiver.
What about Dez?
From North Carolina? I think he's a slot guy. I think that, you know, I'm never rolling.
But what's wrong with a slot guy?
Nothing. Nothing. But you need, I think you also need, you need Anthony Miller or someone to take his spot. So.
Has the game been banged? Is that what you're typing? What are you typing? Just come on the air.
I mean, you could wait until I finish. You guys were having a great Bears conversation. I didn't want to.
We're talking about Daz.
Interrupt the.
I was going to hit the breaking news, but I thought it would throw everyone. I was going to give you a little baseball curveball.
If you're on your way down to the city, to the Cubs game. Turn around.
I get very on edge.
Split doubleheader with the Dodgers tomorrow, a 1:20 and 6:40 p.m. start.
Okay, so doubleheader for the Cubs
they
tomorrow.
They ran out of baseballs in Cincinnati. They didn't have the equipment. I mean, everyone hit them out of the park.
Supposed to storm pretty good tonight, isn't it?
Yes.
So that game has been banged, as the kids like to say. I love that term.
Yeah,
I've even said it to you off the air.
Yeah.
But
kind of weird.
Yeah, but I like the Bears offense. I mean, it's coming around.
Listen, I'm optimistic, but like they scored on the last 2 years, they scored 20 points a game. I mean, can I get really, really excited when I see it and then just at this point be moderately excited?
Yep. I want to give you the update too on the poll question. It's brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. And we asked Dan Weider about this, and he was firmly with Andy Dalton on game one, unless in August, he kept it open, unless in August, you know, Fields wows you. It's brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. Who should start at quarterback for the Bears on NFL opening day? We've had nearly 5,300 votes. Vote on my Twitter handle, @WaddleAndSylvie, and it is nearly split in half. Fields with a slight lead at 51.5%. Dalton getting 48.4% right now. So check that out on my Twitter handle. You can vote there. Who do you think will start if you're making your prediction right now? 332-3776. Waddle has continued to ask the question, do you believe that Matt Nagy is going to develop Fields the right way? And just your joyous stories from the weekend. We'll take them all and give you the Luis Robert news in 2 short minutes.